Yeah, let's get Steve back out here. Steve, I have more questions I want to ask you, and then we'll play more. This new format that I'm testing out has got me all confused. But yeah, Steve, come back out here. I'd like to ask you some more questions, if you don't mind. Everyone, Steve McMurray.
Yeah. Same as it always was.
That's right.
So you like my new strap?
I love it. Woo. Hang on a second.
It's red. Much on red, but I saw it over at Area 22 Guitars yesterday, and I just had to have it.
Area 22, they are another proud supporter of this show.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, so grateful to those guys down there on King Street in Brevard. So, man, we were talking about music. I mean, I'm gonna get right back into it, man. What do you? Let's talk. Can we talk a little bit about home and about your sense of place?
Yeah, man.
Because I know, you know, I know for me, just this last year has taught me a lot about what it means to wake up in the same place, watch the seasons change, that sort of thing.
A lot of musicians are tuning into that, probably. You know, the whole COVID thing has been, it has been what it is, you know, and it's been problematic and so tragic and devastating for so many people, but it has also given a lot of these working, hardworking musicians like Travis the chance to be home with their kids for a while, you know, and that's got to be a good thing. If you got to take a piece of positivity out of this whole negative thing, that would be one thing that you could pick out to think about, you know, is being home, because a lot of people don't get to do that. I grew up the son of a Methodist preacher, and we bounced around every 5 years, so I never really got to put down any roots, but I knew where my family roots were, and that was up in the upper end of Cleveland County, North Carolina, where the McMurrays have been since 1789. Whoa. So I always kind of knew where I was going to plug back down, you know, but it just, I never did know for sure, but that just kind of seemed like the logical place for me because my roots ran deep there and I had lots of extended family there. Fitz and Brian, all my cousins were there.
Yep.
So that seemed like the logical thing to do, but since I have been able to reestablish myself there in that dirt, in that ground, on that place in this world, I don't think I'll ever leave.
I think
that's where I'm gonna, they're gonna bury me right there.
That's beautiful. That's gotta be an immense sense of relief to feel that way.
It is. Because I never, you know, every home we ever had was never home. Because you knew just in a few years you're just going to have to pull up and move off somewhere else.
Yeah.
And the only place, my dad started out as a school teacher in Boone, and he bought himself a little house, little tiny little house up on the side of a mountain, and was somehow able to hang on to that thing. It was right up on the Tennessee line, and that was the only home I ever knew, even though we didn't stay there but 2 or 3, 4 weeks out of the year.
Right.
You know, and it was all we could do to keep it falling down, you know, but it was our home. It was, you know, our little cabin on the side of the mountain. And that was the only place that it was home because it never changed.
Right.
It was like grandma's house, you know, nothing ever changes. Everything's always the same. And, you know, you could always expect it to be the same when you walked in the next time. So that was a real grounding element in our lives as kids growing up, my sisters and my brother.
Yeah.
And our family. And I think my parents had that in mind when they decided to keep that place.
Right.
So.
A place you could point to on a map.
Right.
And
say, this is ours.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't have that. Yeah. I'm very, very, very fortunate in that regard because there's so many people I know that I work with on a daily basis, you know, that are not from this country or they're from somewhere else, you know, up north or out west or, you know, people get supplanted for one reason or another. Whatever that reason is, you know, either immigration or you know, whatever it is that makes you have to pull up and move on.
Yeah.
You know, I feel for folks like that because they don't have that terminal root into the ground somewhere, you know, that they can always feel that structure support, you know, and a lot of people don't have that. And I'm fortunate in that regard.
Yeah, you totally are, man. Speaking of foundation and root, beneath all of it, what do you think sort of like, what do you think is your role in this unfolding, in the dance? What is your role in all of this? What orients you?
Well, I hate to keep going back to it, but I think that I am ordained by some higher power to be a positive influence on people with a message. To be a positive message, to always try to uplift people and not tear them down. I think that's why we're here. I think that's the broader message of Acoustic Syndicate in general. We all have that same ideology. We all subscribe to that doctrine, and we all sort of reinforce that daily. And it comes out in the songwriting, you know, but it's, like I said, it wasn't something we decided one day that we were gonna do. It was just, it's how we were brought up, basically.
I was gonna say, it sounds like that's a family tradition.
It's genetic, and I don't really know what else to add to that, but I do think that's my calling. If I ever had a calling, I think that's it, to spread good love, good vibes, good cheer, and positivity as far and as wide as I can.
Amen, brother. You're in the right place. Just a few more sort of, this is like the lightning round.
Lightning round?
But don't feel like, yeah, we love you, Big Daddy. Don't feel like you have to answer them short, but what do you hope for?
Pay the light bill.
You hope to pay your light bill?
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
You know,
pay the bills.
A wise man once said, keep your overhead low.
That was a very wise man, by the way.
Yeah, I picked it up on a Paul Rudd movie, actually. Yeah. Where I get most of this stuff, actually.
I do want to expound on that for just a minute, but I don't have any grandiose delusions about where I'm supposed to wind up someday. I mean, shoot, man, I'm 55 years old. What's going to happen to me? You know? So, well, you know, with this body, I could go anywhere. But I don't have any lofty notions about where I'm headed. Man, I just got to keep moving forward.
That's it.
And do the best I can and pay the light bill.
And pay the light bill.
Yeah.
What do you, is there anything that you're afraid of?
Snakes.
I knew you were going to say that. You farmers, you're all the same.
You
don't like them snakes.
Fitz will reach down and pick up the god-awfulest looking thing you've ever seen. My father was, I'm going to blame this all on Joe. My father was terrified of snakes. Absolutely. I mean, that was Satan incarnate right there on the ground. And he didn't want anything to do. I came in one time with a snake in my pocket. I picked up a little green snake. We lived in Statesville. And I walked in the back door and I said, Dad, look what I found. And he said, you get that thing out of here right now or I'm going to whip your tail. So I was gone. But no, I'm not afraid of much, man. You know, I'm not afraid of failure. That was never I don't have too many fears. I think fear is used by a lot of people for all the wrong reasons. And you can't go through your life afraid.
Totally.
You have to be secure, you know, you have to have faith and you got to keep moving forward.
Well, yeah, it's very easy to be manipulated or to get off your center, to get off your game, to sort of lose control of your situation when you're letting fear motivate you.
Yeah, my wife would probably tell you a different story about me, but she's not here, but my thing is, you can sweat about the big thing all you want to, you know, but what are you going to do about it?
Right.
So what's in your control, what's out of your control? Not much.
Right.
You know, what you've got control over is right here. And you just gotta do that good. And the rest of it will take care of itself.
That's there's a saying, give me the strength to change the things that I can and the grace to accept those things that I can't. That's not saying it correctly, but that is
it's close enough.
The serenity prayer, right? Yeah. I mean, what a powerful perspective, you know? What last question, and then we'll get back to playing some more music. What are you happy about?
Man, I'm happy to be making music again.
Yeah,
bro. The thing I miss most about this whole pandemic thing is I am addicted to that energy that is right here. You know, this thing that I've been doing for 30 years. You know, playing in front of music, playing in front of people. When that got cut off, that was a huge void. And I know your life, everybody's life, Mike's, everybody's. Especially if you do this for a living, it's a difficult thing. But when you do it like I do, for the joy of it, and that joy has been taken away from you, that's a huge void, and there's nothing to fill it. You can try, and I just look forward to being able to get back out and share these music experiences with everybody, because this is why we do it. These people right here.
Well, let's get back to it. Let's get back to spreading the good word. That's Steve McMurray, everyone. Legend. Mike and Mike, join us again.
Page. Right.